Christ is risen, he reigns in glory with majesty, power, with the Father and the Holy Spirit, now and forevermore. Good morning, friends. I hope that you are keeping warm and well at home. Welcome to this, our service this morning, and I trust that we will have a wonderful time. Today is a Sunday that is set aside in our country as a prayer day, and I encourage each and every one of us to continue right where we are in moments of prayer, seeking God's face about the crisis that we are facing as a nation, as the whole world. We come now to the moment wherein we light the candle, and as we light the candle, we say this prayer. Glorious Father, we are amazed by your mighty acts. Your provision satisfies us even in barren lands. Hide not your face from us in our hour of need, for without you we perish. Lord, your Spirit revives and gives life to our lifeless being. We rejoice and sing glory to your precious name. Light of life, shine in and around our hopeless and dark areas of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I now invite us to listen as George leads
Good morning, members.
With our notices.
Our Sunday notices for today. During this lockdown period, due to COVID-19, it has been a difficult time that we all have been going through, stressfully and emotionally. It is expected that as the winter months start and more movement is being allowed with stage 3, infections will start escalating as seen worldwide, especially in the UK and USA. Let us adhere to the rules and, so doing, keep yourself positive by contacting friends and family and people in need. People often just need an ear to hear of your concerns and good happenings. Happy birthday to those who are having a birthday soon. We are not able to see each other, but we'd like to express our condolences to Ray Henshi with the passing away of Joy. Also, please keep in your prayer all those people listed who need upliftment and encouragement. We will be starting with small Sunday services, taking into account all the safety requirements, and will advise you hereof. The leaders are meeting to decide on the immediate way forward. Today, all South Africans are asked as a National Day of Prayer to pray for all those who are or who have been affected by this virus. Have a good week and stay safe.
Thank you, George, with those notices. And friends, we continue to pray, as I indicated, and with all the conversations that are going around, as George indicated, you will be kept abreast. You will know what is going to take place. Now we come to our call to worship, and I invite us to respond accordingly. In our suffering and dis-ease, come, Holy Spirit, heal our nation and the world. In our short-sightedness of your ever-living presence, come, Holy Spirit, touch and open our eyes and give us clear vision. In our deafening silence, come, Holy Spirit, anoint our lips and enable us to proclaim your mighty acts. In confusion, helplessness, and hopelessness. Come, Holy Spirit, transform and bring peace and order to your world. Friends, we sing together from hymn 68, "For Jesus Stand Among Us."
Stand among us in thy risen power. Let this time of worship be a hallowed hour.
With the
thanks to the voices of the sanctuary. Come now, friend, let us pray. Almighty God, creator of the universe, from everlasting to everlasting, Father, you are God. You are the King of Kings. There is none like you. You are the Almighty, all-knowing, ever-present. We come to you this morning, Lord, with hearts full of praise and thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Father God, for the changing seasons. Yes, Lord, seed time and harvest, summer and winter will always remain. We thank you even as we finding ourselves trying to grapple with the reality of the winter that is upon us. But what gives us comfort, Lord, is to know that you are still God, you are still on the throne, and you still care and love each and every one of us. And as we come this morning, Lord, we just want to say, Lord, we love you. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we thank you. Not because of anything that you have done for us, but because you are God who does not change. You remain the same. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You never change. And that gives us courage that when we go through different challenges in our lives, in our private, personal, communal, national, and international space, yet you are God. And that gives us ground to stand in the midst of everything that goes around. Thank you, Lord. We come to you, Lord, at this moment, humbling ourselves before your throne of glory, as we remember how far we have fallen off from your grace by forsaking to do those things that you told us to do, but instead doing and going after those that do not bring pleasure to you. Lord, we ask that you forgive us, that you cleanse us and make us clean and make us holy. And thank you, Lord, that Jesus came to seek and to find the lost. And in our moments of being lost and not doing your will, find us in your grace, Lord, forgive us and cleanse us. And thank you that you are God who tells us in your word that you forgive us and you throw into the sea of forgetfulness all our wrongs. We give you praise, Lord, and praise and glory in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Friends, now we join together as the Galon family leads us in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, friends. Now we find our scripture reading for the day. And our scripture reading, the first scripture reading, which is read for us by Lawrence, is Numbers chapter 11, verse 24 to 30.
Good morning to Florida Methodist Church, churchgoers and worshippers during this lockdown. I trust and hope to find you very well. I read from Numbers 11, verses 24 to 30. Hear the word of God. So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. He brought together 70 of the elders and had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with him, and he took off the spirit that was on him and put the spirit on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. However, two men, whose names were Eldad and Medad, had remained in the camp. They were listed among the elders, but did not go out to the tent. Yet the spirit also rested on them. And they prophesied in the camp. A young man ran and told Moses, Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, son of Nun, who had been Moses' aide since youth, spoke up and said, Moses, my lord, stop them. But Moses replied, are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his spirit on them. Then Moses and the elders of Israel returned to the camp. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Lawrence. And so we continue with our second reading, which is taken from the book of Acts. We are reading chapter 2. And we're reading verses 1 to 21. And I'm reading from the New International Version. It reads as follows. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Friends, let us join in or listen to a rendition of hymn 286 as Eddie played at home during lockdown. And the hymn, "Holy Spirit, Hear Us." Thank you so much. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our Lord, our Rock and Redeemer. Amen. I have a brother who works in the UK. And one day when he was visiting back at home, He shared a story that one day he was traveling by train, and as he was in the train, he could hear, he had some people who spoke one of the South African languages, which, you know, happens to be known by him. And he says he was so happy, and he could clearly identify with what they were talking about. And as his time to alight off came, he passed by these two ladies and he greeted them in the language they were chatting on. He says that the wonder and the joy in their faces, you know, as he greeted and alighted off, was beyond words that he could explain with. I guess one always longs to hear a home language, especially when you are in a foreign land. I do not know what those ladies had in mind when they heard that there was somebody who could speak their language, but I guess the same experience is what led the thousands that were gathered in Jerusalem to come together and listen to the strangers who spoke in their mother tongue so fluently and clearly. When Luke last spoke to us, he was telling us the words that Jesus said to his disciples, saying that they ought to remain in Jerusalem until they are clothed with power from above. Allow me this morning to speak to us about the person of the Holy Spirit with a message titled Spirit-Filled Proclamation. And I have 3 points. They'll be brief, don't worry. The Holy Spirit, prophecy, and testimony. From an early age, many, if not most of us, grow up knowing that there is God. That is clear, no debate about it. But as we go through religious instruction, we become introduced then, you know, some at an early age, but others as they grow up, to Jesus. And then maybe for some it becomes difficult to say, is God Jesus or is Jesus God? And then you bring in the person of the Holy Spirit, it becomes something else for many people. But as we are Christians, we believe in a Trinitarian God, one God who is revealed to us in 3 persons. And some people, as they try and grapple to understand the concept of the Trinity, have come with examples such as a mother, maybe because this is the end of, you know, May, where we celebrated Mother's Day. I'll use the example of a mother. They say that a mother is a mother, at the same time the mother is a friend, at the same time the mother is a teacher. When I grew up, the first person who taught me things, that was my mother. But when I have problems, the first person that I go to as a friend to open up, that's my mother. But at the same time, my mother is the one who sees to it that everything goes around. I do not know if that brings about, you know, a bit of an understanding of what people mean as they try to bring closer the idea of the Trinity, but I hope it does help. And so today, as I said, my focus is on this third person in the Trinity of equal substance. For John, he speaks of the Holy Spirit as the Comforter. Remember Jesus telling his disciples that it is And it is good for me that I go away so that the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth comes. But Paul speaks of the Holy Spirit as one who unites us to Christ and gives us different gifts as a community, as we work together, serving one another and serving God and serving the world. And then Luke speaks of the Holy Spirit as the power of God, the wind that blows and leads the church to unexpected places, unprecedented, that were never heard of for Jewish people, and also for us, you know. And I want to say that the three are not in conflict, and all three work. And I wish to also add that for each and every one of us, we view the Holy Spirit differently in how the Holy Spirit is revealed to us and how we relate to the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that, as I said, that the person of the Holy Spirit is introduced to us when we are, let me say, a bit mature in our faith, you know. And it is something that the early church had to grapple with. Hence, today we have such as the Nicene Creed in defining who is God, because there are some teachings that were saying, so that means you are believing in three different gods. But the creed says that we believe in one God. And so the Holy Spirit has been there from the beginning. If you look in creation, when you read the first creation narrative, the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God hovered. You know, and even when we come to the birth of Jesus, fast forward, you know, when you read in Matthew 1, verses 18 to 20, you hear of how the Spirit of God has been involved in the conception of Jesus. But fast forward, at Jesus' birth, the Bible tells us that the Spirit descended in the form of a dove as Jesus came out of the water. And as the Spirit has been at work, the Spirit of God continues to work. Just as when Ezekiel prophesied to dry bones and the Spirit gave life to lifeless bodies, the Holy Spirit continues to renew our life, continues to renew life in us. And so the coming of the Holy Spirit that we've just read of at Pentecost, that came upon the disciples, fulfills Jesus' promise. And as we read, the Holy Spirit came with signs that signify, that reveal the presence of God. You talk of fire, you talk of wind, you talk of noise. You can compare when you read in 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 to 12, when Elijah was running away from Jezebel. And the Bible tells us that God instructed him to go, for God was going to reveal self to him. And we hear of different things that happened, you know, that there was an earthquake, but God was not in the earthquake. There was wind, but God was not in the wind. There was fire. You know, but on this day at Pentecost, something else is being fulfilled. Another prophecy by Prophet Joel is being fulfilled, as Peter later on explains when the crowds ask, "What does this mean?" Speaking of prophecy, in the Old Testament times, the Spirit could only be on few individuals. Those upon whom the Spirit of God came prophesied. That is why when we read the prophets, sometimes you hear, you come across the words that say, "The Spirit of the Lord fell upon me," or "The Spirit of the Lord was on me." When we read in Isaiah 61 verse 1, Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and freedom to prisoners. And so in Capernaum, when you read in Luke chapter 4 from verse 18, you find after Jesus had read the scroll and putting it down, Luke tells us that he said, "This prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing," because Christ became the fulfillment of that which was prophesied. And so when the Spirit of God comes, she gives us the ability to proclaim good news. That is the gospel. That is why verse 4 of this Acts that we have read says that all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. And I wish to state that speaking in tongues in this context refers to the different languages that are listed in the text of the people from those different places, the Parthians, the Medes, and so forth, and so forth. And so through the enabling power of the Holy Spirit, not only Galileans or Judeans could hear the gospel, the wonders of God, but every person, all the Jews that were there, the God-fearing, from every nation under heaven, as Luke tells us, they could be able to hear. And I want to suggest that the Holy Spirit enabled the hearing too. Because, I mean, if I speak someone else's language, it doesn't matter how fluent and how clear I am, if that person cannot hear, there is no understanding. And so it makes no difference. And so on that day at Pentecost, all these Jewish men who had come to celebrate one of the three main festivals in Judaism, who were gathered in that place in Jerusalem, as the fire of God, which resembled the Holy Spirit, came and sat on each and every one of the disciples were gathered there, enabling them to proclaim the gospel. Those gathered there were able to hear. Never mind those who started to mock them, to say that they are drunk, you know. Remember, even when Jesus entered Jerusalem, there were those who said that people must keep quiet. Even on this day, there were those who were saying, no, these are drunk. And Peter says that, no, they cannot be drunk because it is 9. And the reason why Peter was drawing them to that, to say it's still early, it is because all those who were gathered there were devout Jews. And according to their rituals and their traditions, it was too early for them to could have had something to eat, let alone to drink, because they're still attending to their prayers. They could only eat thereafter. And so, as they were there, they were able to listen to this prophecy. I call it prophecy because prophecy is not just foretelling to say that, oh, next year this is what is going to happen. But prophecy, it is about conveying God's message to humanity. It can be a warning. It can be good news. But in this case, it is good news to say that everybody who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It doesn't state in the first 11 verses as to exactly what it is that this disciple says, only to say that those who listened were amazed because they said that we could hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. And I want to believe that what they declared, I want to believe that what they declared is what had transpired about the life of Jesus. you know, from the prophets, from the law, the prophets, and also the Psalms, just as Jesus opened the disciples' eyes. And now as the Spirit had come upon them and enabled them, just like as Jesus said, you cannot pour new wine on old wineskins. They had to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them so that they are clothed with this power from above. So that what they're going then to share, this new wine, it is coming from new skins, because the Holy Spirit, when she comes, as I said, she renews us and gives us the ability. And so we find the disciples who were gathered in one accord. I say one accord, and because some translations refer to one accord, and Luke tells us they were in one place. And I bring it to us. Unfortunately, we cannot gather physically currently, but the Holy Spirit unites us with one another wherever we are, and also with Christ. And so the Holy Spirit enables us to convey clearly a message of hope and salvation. Unfortunately, in recent times, we find ourselves as the church sending conflicting messages. And I pray that as we remain in lockdown, in this helpless situation that we find ourselves in, that this would be the time, such as the time that the disciples kept in prayer, such as they remained as they waited for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, so that when we finally are out and we go out and we begin to speak as the Spirit enables us, and the message that we send be a message of unity, a message of love, a message of salvation for all people, irrespective of where they come from. For we believe that all people need to be saved and all people can be saved. And as I said, these Israelites were gathered that day. They'd come from different places, and they met in Jerusalem. But there are other Israelites who were one. They were coming from one place. They were coming from Egypt. And they were going into the promised land. But unfortunately, as they journeyed on the way, they kept on complaining against God and kept on referring back to Egypt where they were. And they would complain. And then the reading, the background of the reading that we read in Numbers, saying that they complained that we're getting tired of this manna. We remember in Egypt where we'd have leeks, onions, and garlic. And they forgot the harsh labor that they had to go through in order to get such food. And so Moses, as their leader at this time, got overwhelmed with all the complaints and cried out to God. You know, sometimes it can be difficult on the way and overwhelming. And God told Moses to bring out to the tent of meeting 70 elders of Israel. And as they came, God took the spirit, some of the spirit that was in Moses, and put that spirit on these 70. Although there were 68, because Eldad and Medab had remained in the camp, they had not come All of them, they prophesied. Because when the Spirit comes, we are enabled to prophesy. We are enabled to proclaim. And when Joshua told Moses about Eldad and Medad, who were also prophesying, Moses said, I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them. That would be lovely. Unfortunately, we live in times wherein there are so many so-called prophets. But Paul says that the spirit of prophets is subject to prophets. Hence, he says, we need to test the spirits and see if they are of God. Because when we share prophecy, when we prophesy, when we share the gospel, God's spirit testifies to what we say, for we cannot say Jesus is Lord if not through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, our relationship with God is of importance as we go about testifying. We are to testify. We are to proclaim. The disciples had been in fellowship, following and serving Christ during his earthly ministry. They obeyed Christ in all he has said. He said, even about remaining in Jerusalem. If and when we obey the Holy Spirit, our testimony becomes valid. Our testimony bears fruit because of the working of the Holy Spirit. When Jesus said to his disciples, you will be my witnesses, beginning in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth, I want to believe that perhaps they may have wondered, how is that going to be possible? Because they were simply Galileans. I mean, and maybe some of them had not even left Palestine. And when I was doing my research, I found that according to the old geography or the old atlas, the lands that are mentioned in this Acts reading, when you look right across the atlas, it's actually a circle that moves from Jerusalem right round and comes back to Jerusalem. So in a way, when the Spirit came upon them, they testified to the ends of the earth. But over and above that, through the leading of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, referring to the Spirit, saying that as wind that blows and goes wherever it pleases, the Spirit of God led them to different places. Some of them to places where they would not, but because they obeyed the leading of the Spirit, they went and took the Jerusalem. And some of them, they took the gospel from Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And some of them, they did so under persecution, because some of them, they fled from Jerusalem. And the history tells us, such as Thomas, they took the gospel as far as India, where he was martyred. We might not face similar persecutions, but as we listen and obey to the Holy Spirit, who helps us in our testimony, we may go as far as the Spirit leads us. And as we do so, many will be added into the kingdom of God, as it were, as they were added on that day. And so as we continue, friends, being on lockdown, may it be a prayer of each and every one of us. When Jesus was teaching the crowds, he says that pray and ask of the gift of the Holy Spirit. and your Heavenly Father will give the Spirit to you. And as we continue praying and asking for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I am assured that the gifts that Paul speaks of when writing to the Corinthians, some of us will have those gifts. And amongst those gifts is the gift of prophecy. The ability, though not a local preacher or a minister, to be able to share the gospel with people. Remember, Wesley is quoted to have said, "Preach the gospel. If necessary, use words." And so, the Holy Spirit continues to work in and through us. Let us be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit. One day we'll talk about the do's and don'ts to the person of the Holy Spirit. May the good Lord bless each and every one of us as we desire and seek the Holy Spirit to continually fill us so that we may continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ for salvation of all people. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Friends, at this moment, we continue with prayers with the collect for today. Almighty God, who at this time taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending to them the light of your Holy Spirit, grant us by the same Spirit to have a right judgment in all things and evermore to rejoice in her holy comfort. Through the merits of Christ Jesus, our Savior, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Friends, we continue with prayers of intercession as we are led by Cheryl, Lionel, and Jenny.
Father, we come to you this morning to pray for your church, the body of Jesus Christ. You are aware that your church is going through one of her most difficult times. The coronavirus 19 epidemic has brought us such pressure to take care of your people. Your word says not to forsake the gathering of the saints, and now we are not allowed to gather. Thank you for modern technology, where some of us can at least speak to each other. We also see that the world does not classify your church as an essential service, so we are not on the priority list. Yet we know that we should be number one, because you have the answer to all our problems. We pray for the church at large, Father, those in other countries around the world, where we see your children in streets calling on you to help. We pray for the church in South Africa, where she is fighting to be heard. We pray especially for our own Florida Methodist Church that I miss so much. Father, you have heard Peter telling us that we have been blessed by the continuous giving of your children and the continuous prayer for the church. We have been blessed and we say thank you. Please also help the other churches internationally and locally to meet their needs. May they stand strong, knowing that the God we serve will never, never leave us nor forsake us. He will make us the head and never the tail. He will keep us above and never beneath. That goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May your church stand and rise above the current crisis. Father, we also thank you for our own Reverend Nombulelo and our awesome elders and leaders who are doing their very best to ensure that we are safe, helping with our needs and ensuring that we receive your word and beautiful songs of praises. Strengthen them, Father, and give them the wisdom they need during these difficult days. We ask all this, Father, in Jesus' awesome name.
Father God, I thank you for the privilege to come and glorify your name this morning and to pray for the sick, our doctors and nurses on the forefront. Oh Father, please give peace and comfort to the bereaved affected by this virus. I lay them and their loved ones at your feet. Please carry displaced people and let them seek your word above all other things. And bless them, O Lord. I ask for your healing hand in hot spot areas, not only in South Africa, but around the world. Thank you, God, for the men and women who serve in our churches and country in leadership roles and their families. Please provide them with godly wisdom and righteousness to guide us not only through these extremely difficult times, but always give them peace and the wisdom on how to support each other, but also our community members and the country. Please pour out your blessings to each person, and we thank you, Lord, for the privilege that we can still experience your word and receive our daily bread through live stream services. And even though we cannot attend in person, our souls are fed and our spiritual needs satisfied. Let us as a nation be thirsty to always drink from your overflowing cup. I pray for our parents, children, teachers, and government bodies that are returning to school on Monday. Please keep them physical and spiritually safe. Lord, I know that we are undeserving of your grace. Please provide food, shelter, and healing where there is a dire need for it. Please let our nation, country, and world turn back to you and serve you, Almighty God.
Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon us and the blessings to come. We pray for our country, South Africa, and the world at large during this time of the pandemic. We remember those that have lost loved ones, those who are infected. We pray for healing, Lord. We bring our president and his advisors who are at the forefront at this difficult time. Intercede, Lord, with the decision-making regarding the welfare of the people of South Africa. Empower them, Lord, to make the right decisions. Be with the doctors and nurses at this time as they fight the virus as the frontline warriors. Cover them every day as they leave their families to tackle a new day. Heavenly Father, as the learners and educators plan their return to school, we ask that you cover them in the full body armor of God as they face each new day. Empower them to work together through this time, thus achieving a good outcome for all. Be with the parents of all the learners who will be returning to school, that they will work as a team with the educators and their children. Lord Jesus Christ, let your light continue to shine through the darkness. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that you are God to whom we can come, we can approach with confidence at our hour of need. Lord, we continue to ask for your peace in the midst of everything that we as your people are going through. Your peace, Lord, that surpasses all understanding, that gives us the assurance that you are with us. The peace that your disciples had, though they went through various trials, yet they continued to proclaim your goodness. They continued to proclaim the gospel of salvation. And Lord, as we continue to wait in anticipation for your coming in glory, keep us steadfast. Keep us diligent. So that when we come, Lord, you can receive us into your glory. We give you thanks, Lord, and we praise your holy name. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Friends, at this moment we pray for our tithes and our offerings, and we continue to thank you for your worship, your spiritual worship in this form. Almighty God, giver of all good and perfect gifts, we come to you this moment with our tithes and offerings. Lord, it is not because we have everything, but it is because we have you in our lives. And by bringing these tithes and our offerings to you, Lord, we are just bringing a token of appreciation, thanking you for who you are and standing on your promises, Lord. We pray for your people at this moment who, because they are not working, have not been working, are not able, Lord, to bring. They wish in their heart, but they are not able to. And we pray that you provide them with a seed too. And when the time is right, that they can harvest and bring to you their offering. Help us as a church, Lord, to serve you with this so that your kingdom may be extended. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And now we come to our closing hymn before we say the benediction together, which is hymn number 116, led by One Voice Choir. Sing we the King who is coming to reign.
Sing we the King.
that not a beautiful hymn? Come now, friends, let us join together as we say the benediction. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us, now and forevermore. Amen. Friends, stay blessed. God be with each and every one of you and those who are beginning at work tomorrow. May the peace of Christ be with you, give you strength and give you courage, and know that the Holy Spirit is with you wherever you are. And I know some of you have been wondering why I kept on saying the Holy Spirit and referring to her as she. One day we will have another discussion on that. God bless you. Stay blessed. Bye.